Coffee, Country, and Cody.
The last of the full-grown men just sat down. Charlie Maddox, help me. Singer, songwriter, performer, Webb Wilder.
Yes, sir. What an intro. Thank you.
I hope you got some sleep last night, because this whole crew could go down at any minute, and you may have to take over.
Oh, thank goodness he's here.
You do have broadcast experience.
So. I do have broadcast experience. You know, I'm always broadcasting on WEBB.
Oh, I like that.
But no, I didn't sleep a lot because I can't go to bed early. I'm a late night guy.
Are you?
And I had to get up at 6, but I woke up at 5, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, I admire you doing it as often as you do. But you were out gallivanting, right?
I was running around downtown Carrie Underwood. You know, when she has a party, you kind of go.
That's right.
It's good.
You can tell Webb's from Mississippi when he says gallivanting.
Gallivanting.
Southern mamas say things like that.
It didn't faze me at all. I felt right at home. I said, yes, sir. That's where we were.
My mother, boy, you know, I heard the Rock Hall guy earlier. I had met a previous head knocker at the Rock Hall named Terry Stewart, and he was from Alabama. We were comparing notes one day. It turned out our mothers were both from the same little dot of a rural community called Sand Hill, Mississippi. Small world.
Oh. How about that? Well, Greg Harris, you referenced, the president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they did the Rock at the Ryman show last
night. I know.
Night.
No one told me, despite my longstanding status as a burning god of love, you know.
But he said, make sure you tell Webb hello, because during his days out managing rock acts on the road, apparently your tour paths coincided. So he wanted
to make sure to
say hello to you.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, let's talk about the radio, because how often are you working with radio in addition to doing the music career? You've been doing radio for how long now?
On and off for many years, but I've been doing this WMOT Roots Radio thing for several years now. Jessie Scott, God bless her, she's a radio legend, and she's our program director at WMOT, and we were both among the first satellite radio DJs, like way back at the dawn of whenever that was, 2000, 2001. And she wanted me to anchor what was in effect her XM before the merger of XM and Sirius Americana Channel.
Yeah.
Most people did that were in D.C. A handful of us were here in Nashville, and that was called Cross Country. And, you know, 4.5 years later, they're laying people off like crazy. We all get laid off, and then they merge, and then they eliminated that channel. So 10 years passed. She called me, and she said, would you like to – we're doing this WMOT thing in, you know, out of Murfreesboro. You want to do
is out of Middle Tennessee State University?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And she said, you want to do the weekly chart show? And I said, sure. And she kept saying, I want to get you on the air more. And, you know, a few years later, it's like, how about adding Monday through Thursday? So 5 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the only child in me has to ask, how often does Webb Wilder music arrive on the Webb Wilder show?
It arises. It's not like, you know, I mean, this album, I just was kidding, Bill, my new album is now 3 years old. So when that was new, it had a little Americana chart action. It was getting played a little more frequently. But here and there, you know, it's not like she's shoving it down anybody's throat, you know.
What was little Jimmy Dickens' line about his latest record? From 19 and a 61?
I think it was 66.
Yeah, okay, 66, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was just telling Bill, I was watching Chris Scruggs, who the guys in Marty's band called The Professor, because he knows everything, in addition to being a great musician, on YouTube. And he was saying that people don't realize how big little Jimmy Dickens was in his prime, because he lived so long as to almost obscure himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
but that when he... But actually, the host, Zach Childs, was saying he saw Buck Owens kind of meet Jimmy Dickens, and he'd never seen Buck so reverent and in awe as he was meeting one of his heroes.
Oh, and you know who? The same story, Charlie Daniels.
There you go.
Little Jimmy Dickens was the guy for him as a kid growing up in North Carolina, listening to the Opry. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you think of Out Behind the Barn and all the humorous songs, but he was a heck of a ballad singer. Wasn't
Well, that's true. Yeah. You know, Boudlow and Felice Bryant wrote so many of the Everly Brothers hits, and I saw one of the two, Dane or Dell, I think it was Dell Bryant, one of the sons being interviewed, and he said that his mother, Felice, said Jimmy could do a ballad like no one. It would always make her cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Life Turned Her That Way was one that he would continue.
Well, that's a good song.
He would reference that a lot. I think that was the one where he'd say, I'd like to do my latest hit from 1966 and break into Life Turned Her That Way, which Ricky Van Shelton would cover years later and have a big hit with. So where does music come into the life of Hattiesburg, Mississippi's Webb Wilder as a kid?
Well, you know, I don't know. I was an only child, of course, and I had kind of a second mother in my mother's sister, who's name was Montressa Wilder. And she said I sang before I talked. And suddenly I'm getting a big ego, like, oh, really? And I said, well, what did I sing? She goes, oh, I don't know. It was La 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 or something. And, but I just always was drawn toward it. My parents weren't musical or anything. And
what did they do?
Well, you know, I don't think they had the choices I had, quite frankly. They had the Depression and World War II. My father had like a mom and pop furniture store.
Okay.
And, you know, he didn't want his wife to work, which my mother always lamented. She was a kind of a business girl of the 40s kind of person and loved business and had worked for General Motors Insurance Corporation, you know. So just stuff like that. But my father's real dream was to get back to the land, and he had a cattle farm. We'd go out there on the weekends and stuff. So he didn't really want to sell furniture. I think that's kind of the card he was dealt. Yeah.
But
I listened to the radio and TV and was just drawn to it. And, you know, the Beatles thing really changed everybody. But I was in the fourth grade, and I already had a Ricky Nelson album and an Elvis album. And Roy Rogers was my first hero. And, of course, he had a guitar.
Yeah. You know. Were you already playing a guitar?
No. There's a picture of me at a birthday party when I'm 5 or 6, and I'm right-handed. I'm holding a Roy Rogers guitar left-handed. So I didn't understand anything about it until about 12.
Yeah.
Maybe the picture was just backwards.
Could be.
There you go. That's what you should point to.
My fly was down, too.
There's no saving it.
So you were 10 when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes, whatever
for the first
age
time.
You are in the fourth grade.
Well, it was 64, yeah. Right? So that would make sense.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's hard for people today because, you know, you can get everything on your phone, a laptop, a computer, everything's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine how monumental that was. Do you,
sure.
How monumental, I mean, what was it like to see them? I mean, I just heard it just changed everything, you know?
Well, yeah. And for instance, you know, social media, Dan Fort, you know, is one of the premier guitar journalists, mm-hmm. you know, and he's probably about my age, and he was on Facebook or something yesterday talking about seeing the little film on the Jack Parr Show, which was pre-Ed Sullivan. Mm-hmm. I saw that too. You know, I was a little too young to remember the Jack Parr Tonight Show mm-hmm. thing, but then he had a little half-hour show on Friday nights, and I would watch it, and he had been to England, and his daughter became a Beatle fan or something, and he had kind of like, you know, home movie. And I went, wow, the Beatles. So then it starts building. Then they get the radio airplay. And then, you know, everybody's in anticipation of the Ed Sullivan Show. And, of course, no cable. You just had three networks.
Yep.
And it was life-changing. And, of course, like I say, I was already pretty into music. And then you began to realize they had so many good songs, you know. And so almost immediately I just put them on a shelf that – no one else would ever occupy. Mm-hmm. And there are those people that never really got off that shelf and listened to anybody else. You know, they're just Beatle people. They drank the Kool-Aid big time, you know. Mm-hmm. I revere them immeasurably. But I got into other things, too. And I must admit, I was always drawn toward the Rolling Stones.
So, yeah.
Did you have the Beatle hair?
I tried, but that was a no-no. See, they would have rules about hair and skirts and all that. So your hair had to be 2 inches above, 2 fingers above your eyebrows.
Oh, that's kind of an Amish look. That's not a Beatle look. Yeah. That's probably better.
It's called the Sunday school look.
No. Well, Dad put the bowl on your head.
I have achieved a whole hand above my eyebrows now, Webb, so I don't have to worry about that.
I'm a whole catcher's mitt, yeah.
Let's play something from your brand-new 3-year-old album.
Yes, sir.
It's called Night Without Love, and you suggested off the air, Tell Me What's Wrong.
Yes.
You said there was a great backstory on it.
Well, there kind of is, you know. Everybody loved John Prine, and I wish I had known him better. I certainly love his music. But he was so gracious to us. He was hosting a series of television programs in England called Town and Country, and we were fortunate enough to be one of the guests. And I think that we were on there maybe the last day, and he'd been taping for days, and I was lucky enough to talk to him, and I said, well, you know, what are you going to do now that this is over, you know? He said, well, I think I'm going to go to my cottage in Galway. And you know I've wanted a cottage in Galway ever since. But so you connect the dots. So then I remembered that right after I spoke to him, I got in a taxi and I went to hear this semi-obscure London band called The Inmates. And years later, I covered their song, Tell Me What's Wrong.
How about that? Yeah. Webb Wilder, Last of the Full-Grown Men. I want to make sure that I mention that you and the Beatniks, are coming to the City Winery. Doors
yes,
at 5:30. Showtime is 7:30. That is this Sunday. Webb Wilder on Coffee, Country, and Cody.
I'm going to love you, honey, but my loving you won't accept.
Come on, baby, sit down beside me. Don't get so upset. Don't be afraid. You can tell me what's wrong. You can't tell me what's wrong. Don't you worry. Take your time. You can't tell me what's wrong. Honey, you're my only lover, and I want to spend my life with you. Come on, baby, sit down beside me. We can talk the whole thing through. Don't be afraid. You can't tell me what's wrong. You can't tell me what's wrong. Well, don't you worry. Take your time. Tell me what's wrong. Do everything that your heart desires. Come on, baby, sit down beside me. Let me wash away your fears. Don't be afraid. You can tell me what's wrong. You can't tell me what's wrong. Well, don't you worry. Take your time. Tell me what's wrong. Come on, baby, tell me what's wrong. I'll tell me what's wrong. Don't you worry, take your time, tell me what's wrong.
Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Webb Wilder came to see us this morning on his way, along with the Beatniks, Sunday to the City Winery 5:30 show. 7:30 Doors. I'm sorry. Showtime is 7:30. 5:30 Doors, 7:30 Showtime. And the Exit Inn. It was home for you for many for so long. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I was briefly a college student here in the 70s, and it was when it was a songwriter listening room, and it was really cool. You know, I saw Emmy on her first album tour there, and Rodney Crowell had some great stories about that, but because he had to play bass that night because Emery got the Elvis call.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But anyway, but then later when we would play there, it was more of a rock and roll club, and there was a time when we really drew so well there, we literally had to hire our own security.
No kidding.
So the Exit Inn had many different owners, and I think the last owners were after that. So they maybe, and then my first album, about half of it was recorded live there, and a lot of people still love that album. I don't think they appreciated that as much as the late, great Peter Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter, who we're still reeling in the aftermath of his passing, had Jason Ringenberg and Diane Davidson and I down last summer to the Hall of Fame. In a special program about the Exit Inn and our experiences there. But, I mean, I could say all sorts of stuff about it. It was great. Back in the day, I saw Emmy there. I saw Jonathan Edwards. I saw Alex Harvey and Esther Phillips and Barry Manilow. I mean,
Barry Manilow.
I saw Christofferson.
The Exit Inn. Oh, my God.
Christofferson and Waylon hanging out.
Yeah.
Because they had two rooms. You could hang out in the bar or pay to go in the music room. And once you went in the music room, a voice would come on and say, "We'd like to remind you, the Exit Inn is a listening room, so please refrain from talking during the performance." And it was very different later, of course. Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say, the last time I was there, I couldn't hear anything over anybody because everybody's just talking and yelling and screaming.
Well, Pam Tillis, famously, when we did Bill Cody Presents on Circle, that was one of the stops she wanted to make, one of her early hangs. It's where she and Callie Couric met, and Callie was waitressing.
Wow.
Oh. And she needed something to drink, not as in an alcoholic beverage, but something to kind of take care of her throat before she went up to play. Anyway, they just looked at each other, and their friendship continues to this day.
I met Kathy Matea many years ago when she was waitressing a couple of doors down at Friday's.
Yeah.
And she had her hair pulled through a 45 vinyl record.
Exactly. We walked that beat, the rock block, as they call it here in Nashville, during her visit to Bill Cody Presents. And
she's great.
And now it's getting webbed to the point where, as you well know, living here, it's where it used to be.
Oh, it's unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sadly, you know. Yeah. Well, at least the exit is still there, and the new owners say they're going to do something with it. So I'd love to return. You know, we did some shows there a couple of times in more recent years with the White Animals, who were big on the local and regional circuit back in the day, and they'll do these annual club gigs and a big crowd, you know. So we loved sharing the stage with them. I hope that happens again.
So what year did you get to town?
Well, for the college student thing, it was 74, but I was only here about 9 months. So I got back kind of for good.
Where'd you go to school?
Peabody.
Okay.
Yeah, cheaper than Vanderbilt.
isn't everywhere.
And the buildings, you know, and luckily those buildings are still there. I can look at the dorm where I lived, but I'm not sure they call it Peabody or anything anymore. Mm. But 82, summer of 82. Right. Yeah.
Play and sing for us.
This is a song that is not from the new three-year-old album. This is from an album called About Time. And it's about kind of making the most of things, I reckon. I just had to laugh to keep from crying. My heart stopped, almost dropped when you laid the news on me. I just had to run to keep from crawling at your feet, begging, darling, pleading. But don't take that thing from me. What'll I do now? Won't you tell me, please? It's hard to know where I stand. But when I'm down here on my knees, I just had to smile to keep from frowning. A happy cloud inside, I'm down. Ever since you said we're through, I just had to ask to keep from wondering. The mystery was fogging me. Like a fool, I played the sleuth. What'll I do now? Won't you tell me, please? It's hard to know where I stand. When I'm down here on my knees, I just had to laugh to keep from crying. My heart stopped, almost dropped. When you lay the news on me, I just had to swim. Keep from drowning. A swollen stream of tears and dreams. A white water turning blue. What'll I do now? Won't you tell me, please? It's hard to know where I stand. Hard to know where I stand. Hard to know where I stand. When I'm down. Sit on a dime and swing my feet.
Webb Wilder and the Beatniks. Again, doors at 5:30, showtime 7:30 that Sunday. City Winery here in Nashville.
Nice place.
You give people a little background on your cinematic efforts along the way. And if you got anything out there that's working?
Nah, we had more success than we ever dreamed of having with the first effort, which was a 13-minute self-produced Webb Wilder Private Eye film that was the brainchild of the director Steve Mims, R.S. Field, who's a mad genius, and myself. And so many years later, I had a role in a major motion picture, you know, called The Thing Called Love. Uh-huh. And I thought, I'm on my way. This is my first major motion picture.
Was that Peter Bogdanovich?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Peter Bogdanovich, you know, it's 1993. First major motion picture. It was my last.
Now, listen, you're still here. You're still breathing. You can't say that. You never know who's listening right now.
You know, like I always say, life is so unfair, something good could happen to you.
That's exactly
because it's real arbitrary what happens to you, what doesn't. But yeah, man. So I haven't done any acting recently. You know what I did do, and I may have bragged on it last time, but I'm still bragging on it. I get called on from time to time to be the reader for audiobooks,
nice.
Which we used to call books on tape, but there's no tape, right? And some of them are better than others, you know. And I did the new Willie Nelson one.
Oh.
Yeah, me and Paul.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and very much an honor, I thought, you know.
And musically, new music coming anytime soon?
I hope
and,
so.
And touring dates in addition to what you're doing here in town?
Well, we've had some good band dates this year because we were sort of in lockdown and all that stuff. We played Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, had a great gig at the Capitol Theater in Bowling Green a few weeks ago.
Well, that's
down
special.
Home in Johnson City.
Yeah.
So there's some solo dates in the offing. I'll be at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta on the 24th of this month. But I actually hope to start it's hard to find the time with the radio show and the gigs. Mm. You have to give up the gigs to make an album. I don't have that luxury. We'll see. I hope to make another record sometime. Every record I've ever made, I've wondered if it would be the last, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Webb, thanks for coming to see us.
Thanks for having me.
Getting up early and playing and singing live for us.
Appreciate
Webb Wilder, last of the full grown. You want to give the credo before you leave?
Yes, sir. Work hard, rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big. Wear glasses if you need them. The Webb Wilder credo.